You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. So few people know what it's really like to be at opposite ends of the same career path. Enter our new series, Work in Progress, conversations between two people, one just starting out in a career and one who's been working in that field for a long, long time. Today, we hear from two people who have chosen to be Roman Catholic priests.
May the Lord bless both of us, the Father
and Lord,
the Son.
May you be in our thoughts during this time, on our lips, and in our hearts. Let us think like you, let us love like you, and let us live like you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. My name is Father James Hobeck, or Father Jim. I'm from Church of the Holy Family in Novi, and I'm very grateful to be just a newly ordained priest.
And I'm Father Ed Pruce, and I've been a priest for 57 years.
57 years.
And I retired now and living in St. James Church in Ferndale, which is now called our Mother Perpetual Help.
Just some questions I'd like to ask you. What were some of the best parts or things that you can remember of being a priest? Like, what would be your, would you say, one or two strengths?
You know, Jim, I never thought I could do certain things, but I was amazed. Like, my first assignment, I went to into the city of Detroit. I rang the doorbell. This elderly man answered the door, and I said, Father Uhlenberg? He said, yes. And the first words he said to me were, your day off is Tuesday. But to do the things that all of a sudden, I had never done these things before. I remember sick calls. I especially remember sick calls. And there was a little book that had the ritual for what to do when someone is sick. And they called you as a priest. I studied that in Latin all the time. How about yourself? I mean, these first weeks and months are exciting times. What's been going on for you?
Really, it's just learning on the fly. So I had the privilege of being ordained at the church at Holy Family in Novi, and it was a beautiful experience. But the next thing you know, Monday came, and I was the associate pastor. You know, I had phone calls, emails, people asked me to do masses here, there, and everywhere. I was very excited to hear confessions. And so for me, it's been a very quick learning curve. And I would say that, in truth, like, life has been very busy. You know, there's been a lot of activities. Also, too, we have the Spanish Mass every Saturday.
You speak Spanish?
Oui. Un poquito, you know. And that's a challenge. I took 4 years of French in high school. There was something I was hoping to do. But in truth, my grasp isn't great. I probably speak like a child, but I'm open to learning. I'm open to practicing and to learn. So these first few months of priesthood have been incredible. So Father Pruce, just wondering, how has the life of a priest changed? You know, you were ordained 57 years ago. What do you think it looked like back in the 1960s as opposed to here in 2018?
When I was ordained, our understanding and appreciation of the priesthood, at least mine, was that we were supposed to be doing everything. And what has happened is amazing, that it's like the Spirit of God in the people of God has just called their gifts forth. And so all of a sudden now you have people who are ministers of the Eucharist. I mean, that was not even imagined at the start with us. Only the priest could distribute the Holy Eucharist. Only the priest did the readings at Mass, led the prayers. All these gifts that have been buried in the community, all those years, you know, and people just came and it's like the church has come alive.
What would be one important piece of advice to give me?
You know what, Jim? I'd say this. Love the people. Yesterday, I was in the hospital. I had to get an X-ray taken, And the woman who's taking the information says to me, "Are you Father Proust who used to be at Shrine?" And I said, "Yes." And she says, "You married me." I said, "I did." She said, "Yeah." I said, "How's your married life? Did it work out?" And she said, "It was marvelous. My husband has passed away, but I have two beautiful daughters now, and we've had a wonderful life." Just to meet people like that, it's always the voice of God in our lives. You know, people are really marvelous, and there's so much goodness in them. And all we have to do is, we're like the treasure finders for God. That would be my advice.
Thank you. I do appreciate that. It's important because I'm learning, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things that I always wonder about when talking with the young priest is like, was this a difficult decision? Because in our society, you know, like priesthood was considered, I don't know, just it was treated with awe, if I can say that word. It was something that people looked forward to. In this day and age, though, the way society is, people say, "Why would you become a priest?" And I wonder if that was hard for you. To be a priest in today's world is a challenge.
Yeah. There's no doubt about that at all. I mean, when I was in high school, that was something I had to wrestle with. Is like back when I was a senior, that's when I first started thinking about priesthood. And one of the challenges a lot of my buddies would ask is like, "Well, you're never going to get married. You're never going to have kids. You can't have sex. You're not going to be able to live." And I remember even at that point in time, that didn't sound right to me, but I wasn't able to articulate a response. But that's something that during my time of seminary, I did have to wrestle and pray about is that, yeah, if I'm going to be a priest, there is great sacrifice, that I will not have a wife, I will not have a girlfriend, that as a celibate man, I will live on my own. And one of the biggest obstacles I had to get over was looking at it rather than being a prohibition or a condition, a freedom. And so for me, yeah, there is an incredible need for courage to be able to be firm in my commitment to celibacy, to live chastely, to recognize that a lot of the culture around us mocks or doesn't value chastity. They look at it as a chain or something that enslaves people. But instead, there's actually great freedom, you know, to love not just, you know, people as objects, but people as persons.
It takes courage. But that's true of all vocations. It takes courage. And, you know, so often people say, "Well, you're not going to have any children and you're not going to have a family like other people have." But all families become yours.
Well, Father Proust, I just want to say thank you. I told you that there are a number of priests who are somewhat jealous that they couldn't be here talking with you. But you've got a ton of experience, a ton of wisdom to share. And in this brief period of time, you did. And all I can say to you is thank you. I'm very humbled to be here just to share this time with you. And I do ask that you please pray for me.
Well, Jim, I will pray for you. But I'm thanking God that he sends you because I think you have a lot to give to his people. You know, we're called to nourish each other, and I think you're the man, the right man for the job. God love you, Jim.
God love you.
And your ministry, too. And don't forget, if anybody's listening to this, say a prayer for Jim.
And say a prayer
for
all
Father
of
Ed. Us. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And that was recently ordained Father Jim Hobeck and recently retired Father Ed Proust talking about their lives as Roman Catholic priests.